Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5 this morning. And this week, as I was meditating on, we had finished up our opening series of the year, Set Your Sails, last Sunday. If you haven't had a chance to go online and check it out, I would encourage you to do so. I really feel like the Lord is setting us up for an awesome year. You know, because we don't go by sight, right? We walk by faith, not by sight. That means when God says to do something, we're going to do it. And we're going to do it with faith. We're going to do it with not being presumptuous, not being foolish, but we're going to do it in faith, believing that He's going to show up and show out each time. I want to start this morning, as you're getting ready for Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to begin in verse 11, but I want to tell you a little story. There was a Sunday school teacher that had gathered the children of the church for a lesson, and the teacher poised a question that was appropriate for that time of year. It was coming up on Easter Sunday, and so he asked the children, you know, that as we prepare for Easter Sunday in this special time, why do you think we celebrate Easter? And a little girl spoke up really quickly, and she said, we remember our mothers and how much we love them. And the Sunday school teacher said, no, that's not quite right. But that's a sweet thought, Susie. And then the teacher replied, well, does anybody else have an idea? What are we getting ready to celebrate for Easter? And a little boy, he said, I'll take a shot at it. Easter's the time of year when we say thank you to God for all the good things He did in our lives. Now the Sunday school teacher is thinking, we got our work cut out for us. No, that's a good thought. We're always supposed to be thankful, Johnny, but really, that you're thinking of Thanksgiving. And of course, we can always say thank you to God, and that's perfectly appropriate, Johnny. So that's a good try, Johnny. That's a good try. And so the teacher is really beginning to be a little concerned about the children's lack of Bible knowledge. And then another little girl comes forward, and she says, I'll give it a try. And she said, it's the time of year that we remember that Jesus died on a cross for our sins. The teacher looked really relieved. And then he was buried in the tomb, and on Easter morning, and God rolled the stone away, and Jesus came out of the tomb, and the teacher was saying, excellent, excellent. And she said, and then when he saw his shadow, he went back into the tomb. And there were 6 more weeks of winter. That is a fictitious story. But we are coming up on the time of year, and we know when Jesus came out of the tomb, he came out. Amen. And he's still out. Amen. And he's here, and he's in your life, changing your life, transforming your life. That's why we come together. Tuesday morning in Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania, will be a celebration of sorts, and a gentlemen in top hat and tails will come out, and they will see if Punxsutawney Phil will come out and tell us if 6 more weeks of winter is going to be there for us. And so that's going to be Tuesday morning. And of course, most of us that are here in the Northeast are bracing for Snowzilla. I have no idea what they're calling this storm. They're starting to name winter storms. I come from Florida, where they name hurricanes. That makes sense to me. Making names of winter storms makes no sense whatsoever. But, it's what's being done. And, you know, I don't know what they're naming this one, but, you know, a lot of us are expecting some snow tonight, tomorrow, into Tuesday morning. So I have no idea what Phil is going to predict. It turns out that Phil's weather prediction accuracy over the last 100 or so years is not so accurate. In fact, he's less than 50% accurate, according to a storm facts almanac. Phil's tracking prediction since 1887. Phil has only been correct 39% of the time. So, as it turns out, Phil's a cute animal, but he can't accurately predict weather. And so this morning, as I was just thinking about Groundhog Day, did anybody ever see the movie Groundhog Day? Okay. It is a PG movie, okay? So those of you that have little kids, you might want to preview it first. But it is a relatively humorous look at a man who gets caught in a time warp, if you will, repeating his life over and over and over and over again, feeling like there was no way out. And I started thinking about the last 10 months that a lot of us have felt kind of almost that mundane, going through the motions, getting up, doing the same thing every single day. And those that get to work from home, turning on the computer and logging in and doing the same thing. Going to the store, wiping your groceries off, wearing a mask. Can I go here? Can I not go here? And I started to think that there is a certain amount of futility that you can start to feel. Even those of us that have the great hope living on the inside of us, having Jesus living on the inside of us, it can get really mundane. Do I get a witness in here at all? Well, I believe that God's word has an answer for us to get out of being a groundhog Christian. Okay? Groundhog Christians. Okay? You know, when we come out to see if it's okay to come out, you know, we don't have to run back in to our little mundane world because we saw our shadow. Because God's not given us a spirit of fear. In fact, and we're not going to turn there, but if you want to jot it down, Daniel chapter 11 and verse 32 says, "The people who know their God will do mighty exploits." I believe that God's best for each one of us is not to be a groundhog Christian, but to be somebody that still can live with boldness, that can still be the people of God despite the circumstance that we are living in. And just by way of anecdotal measure, I love to study history. The early church had it far worse than us, even though we're in the middle of a pandemic. In fact, there are still places across the earth that if you're a Christian, it's illegal. You may have to die for your faith. I'm not trying to get, you know, down and depressed over that. I'm trying to give us the reality of where we are living. All right? The reality of where we are living. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Now, I want you to pay real close attention. This is the passage that we're going to hang out in this morning. So just for the next, 15, 20 minutes, I believe there's some truths that God wants us to get about avoiding being a groundhog Christian. He says this, "For you were once darkness." You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord." Verse 11, "Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says," verse 14, "Awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." Now go back to our movie illustration just for a moment. The main character in the movie is a weatherman who's rather egocentric and rather narcissistic, to say it this much, okay? He thinks he's just the greatest thing, and he did this assignment to go and check out Punxsutawney Phil is well beneath him. And it's the fourth year in a row that he has been assigned this duty. He is just tired of it. He's critical of it. He just looks at the people that are in this little town with disdain, that he's so much better than them. And he gets himself caught in this time warp. Now, it's a fictitious movie, but he wakes up every morning to an alarm clock at 6 a.m. I remember the movie. The alarm clock goes off, and his day repeats exactly the way it was. He starts to realize this after however many times, that his life is repeating, and that he's caught in this day where everything just repeats, repeats, repeats. He realizes that he's caught in this cycle, and he wakes up, just like he does every day. He wakes up, and then he goes through the motions of that day, caught in a rut, caught in a, where he just, the same things happen over and over again. Now, he likes this particular woman that's in the movie, and so he feels like he can maybe manipulate this to his advantage. That doesn't work out so well for him, and he just cycles through again and again. Finally, and I'm not trying to be a spoiler, he finally gets the idea that kindness and goodness are the only way that he's going to get out of that situation. I believe that God has a whole lot better message for us from his word. He says here, "Awake, O sleep, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." Verse 15, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." Verse 16, "Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting one to one another in the fear of the Lord." I want you to see a couple of things in this passage that I believe will help you and me to avoid being a groundhog Christian. My goal this morning is to get you to break out of the mundane spiritual existence that maybe you have had over the last 10 months. To break out of that and dig down with the deep, true faith that you have on the inside. Notice what it said in verse 11. He said, "Once you were darkness, but now you are light." If you want to get some insight in what he's talking about in chapter 1, verse 1 says, "Be imitators of God as children. Walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma." He tells us to be an imitator of God. To be and to live a life or a walk of love. He goes on to list a bunch of different sins in verse 3. He goes on to talk about those a little bit. And then it says, "Don't let anyone deceive you with empty words." And then he says, "Don't even be partakers with them." So what's he talking about? He's talking about avoiding that kind of behavior that the world has. Avoid that, because you were darkness, but now you are light. He's giving a contrast that once Christ comes into your life and wakes you up, there, you should have no part of that way or that lifestyle. And that doesn't mean that you can then in turn be hateful to those that participate in that. it's important that we really, truly take what the Scripture says here. That we are imitators of God. That we walk in love. That when people think of us, even if they don't believe like you believe, they think that you're a loving person. They should think that. They shouldn't think of you as somebody who's been baptized in lemons. You know, it's like, listen, I, and some of you that have been around the block longer than me, right? I've met some mean Christians in my life. I'm sorry, but it's sad and it's true. I've met some mean Christians. You need to determine in your life you're not going to be one of those. That's one way you can break out of the mundane cycle of just going through the motions each time. I want to say to you, even if you've been a Christian for a long time, wake up. Now, this generation, they have a term that you're woke, right? And they talk about being woke to racial injustice, being woke to certain things. I want to tell you that we as believers need to be woke to Him. We need to be woke to Him first. All this other stuff, yes, it's important. We should stand up for racial injustice. We should be a part of the solution to things, not the problem. And so I want to challenge us. The Apostle Paul tells us that we are to live a life of love. The thing that he says there, he says, "Awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead." In other words, dead works. Dead works look like good works, sometimes just with the wrong motive. Did you know that? In the end, your good works can look like dead works if they were done in the wrong motive. So we've got to go back to being imitators of God, verse 1. And then he goes on to say, I love this, he says, "See that you walk circumspectly." You know, some of these words can be so, strong. When you're reading what St. Paul says, it can be really strong. When he says, wake up, let's go back to the word wake up. It says to lift up, to raise up, and it is the idea of collecting one's faculties. You want to get out of the mundane? Wake up. Okay? Collect one's faculties, to awaken. This is what it actually, to rouse from sleep, from sitting or lying, from disease, from death, figuratively, obscurity, inactivity. In other words, lift up, raise up, tear up, rear up. That's what we need to do. That involves action. So waking up involves action. And then he goes on to say, we're going to look at what he says there. Walk then circumspectly. That means to be aware of what's going on. Be aware, spiritually speaking. And he says this, not as fools, but as wise. And I love this, verse 16, redeeming the time. Now, we don't use the word redeem, redeeming the time. But that word there, redeem, means to buy up, to ransom. To rescue from loss, don't waste the time. Awake, don't waste the time. Some of you have given me personal testimonies that you've taken these times of being more sequestered, of not having the ability to go out and do all these different things that distract us, to actually work on your spiritual life. Keep going. Amen. Keep going, child of God. Amen. Work on your spiritual life. Work on the inside. Do the hard work. Face some of the challenges that you have. Do some self-improvement. You know, ask your family to help you. Believe me, they will. They will, right? And then he goes on to say, he says, why? Redeeming the time because the days are evil. That is a harsh word. So I thought, what does that word mean? And it says this, in the Greek word, it's hurtful. It's a hurtful world we live in. It is under the influence of the enemy. It's an essential characteristic of evil. It indicates degeneracy from original virtue, calamitous, ill, diseased, morally bankrupt, derelict, vicious, fat. And then he says, malice, full of malice, grievous, harmful, malicious. So when he said this, understand he's talking to first century Christians. The days are evil. Timothy tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, he tells us that it's going to go from bad to worse. That as we get to the last days, there will be perilous times, dangerous times. Times that to be a Christian, to stand up for the values and the things of God, are not going to be easy. Why? Because it is counterculture to what the world is currently going after. It's important that we are not unwise, but we are wise. We buy back the time. Buy it back. You were once darkness, now you're light. He says this, awake. He says this, redeem. Buy it back. Rescue the time. Rescue the time. We go back to our movie illustration. And what does the main character do? He rescues the time. He gets out of that loop because he starts being kind. He starts helping somebody. He starts helping. At one point, he had disdain for a homeless man. And then by the end of the movie, he is brokenhearted because the homeless man lost his life. There's lots of really great moral lessons that if we will look at it through the filter of God's word, we don't want to be any groundhog Christians. Don't get caught in the loop of just, I go to church, this is what I do this, and not make a difference in the world. There is an opportunity for us right now to make a difference, to really, really make a difference, to truly, we say that we love the unlovely, but do we really? I'm just going to throw that out. Do we love those that we disagree with? Do we love them the way Christ loved the church, gave himself up? I think it's time that we do some introspection. I think it's time that we wake up from our sleep, that we allow Christ to give us light in some of these areas. Ask yourself, should I be laughing at maybe that joke in the office? Or that off-color thing? Should I be? Because what kind of advertisement do I give the kingdom of God? What about that snide remark that we say? That comment, that thoughtless, and I'm just going to say it like it is. Sometimes social media, we can just say thoughtless things. Why? Because we don't have to be accountable in the presence of the person that we're saying it to. We need to think. Think about what we represent. Think about how we represent in this time. We're Christians, right? Yeah. Do you know what the word Christian means? I'm just talking to you like pastor. You can send me email later if you need to. Okay? But here's the thing. That we're Christ-like. How does Christ respond to some of the things that we see? How do you think he would? How did he respond to the woman caught in the act of adultery? How did he respond to the sinners? The Bible tells us that Jesus was known as a friend of sinners. Now, you've heard me say this before. This is not a new thing. You've heard me say this before. Yet most Christians I know do not have any sinners as friends. You say, but pastor, isn't that contradictory? It said in that verse you just read to us, it says, for you were once darkness, but now you're children of light. Walk as children of the light. And then it says this, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. It didn't say, don't have any connection to those people. It said, not the works. In other words, don't jump in and do the same things they're doing. Get quiet. I didn't write it. Okay. But then he goes on to say, I believe that, see, God has a better way for us to live. It is a way that will actually advertise his goodness. It will advertise his glory. We started off, arise, shine. The scripture that I read to you out of Isaiah 60. For your light has come. Do you see the connection here? Because it's the same. It is a reference when he said, awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead. Christ will give you light. It is a reference to that Isaiah 60 passage. That God wants to bring his glory on us as the church of Jesus Christ. To make a difference in this world. And then he goes on in verse 17. Don't be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do you know that you can know God's will? I've heard Christians say, well, you just never know what God's going to do. You just don't know his will. You just don't know his will. God wants you to know his will. And you can know his will in a lot of different things in your life. If you would read what he says and live your life the way he says it, you can know his will. He can, listen, if you go into this manufacturer's handbook, as my father-in-law likes to call it, if you go into this, it'll tell you how to manage money. It'll tell you how to manage relationships. It'll tell children how to treat their parents. It'll tell parents how to treat their children. It will tell wives how to treat their husbands. It will tell husbands how to treat their wives. As Christ loved the church and gave himself up for the church. If we will live wise and understand what the will of the Lord is. And then verse 18. Don't be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Be so full of the Spirit, people think you are drunk on the Spirit of God. Now think about that just for a second. Now, I've seen some of you in some Holy Spirit meetings, and you did look drunk. I've been there. I've been there. Let me tell you something. Have you ever noticed that when somebody's drunk and they're trying to hide it, you know, they're trying to hide it from a police officer or whatever, it's difficult to hide. What is the scripture saying here? Be so full of God that it's difficult to hide it. That they want to know, excuse me, can I check your breath? Are you on something? Why? Because God wants to give you that kind of presence that goes with you. Not to be out of control, not to cause car accidents, not to be drunk with wine wherein is dissipation, but to be so full of God. I'll never forget the first time I got around Spirit-filled people and they started speaking in other tongues. It freaked me out. I didn't grow up in a church that taught that. They believed that it happened, but that it happened long ago and that it didn't happen today. And I'm like, what is this? And I'll never forget being around Spirit-filled people and me wanting to be so full of God like some of those people that I met. The FBI agent that actually helped to pray for me to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I wanted to be like him. Why? He was probably him and his wife are some of the most loving, accepting, amazing people that I've ever met in my life. Why? Because their walk with God, they were imitators. Verse 1 of chapter 5, they were imitators of God. They were people who opened up their home to a bunch of teenagers from all different denominations. Catholic, Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, you name it. They were in the living room and they longed to come to the FBI agent's house every Saturday night. We called it Saturday Night Live. Because we never knew what was going to happen. We knew that God was going to show up. Would it be that we would have that same attitude every Sunday morning that when we come into this church, we're like, what's God going to do today? Man, what kind of miracles are going to happen? What kind of situation is going to happen? Who's going to walk in that needs Christ? Who's going to walk in that needs a touch from God? I'll never forget that there was a famous singer who came into this building, and at the time, we didn't have all this here. At the time, this wall, there was a wall right there. We were a small little, smaller, right, as far as physically. And I'll never forget, there was somebody sitting right over there. My office was back where the sound booth is now. And I'll never forget, somebody came and knocked at my door right before church started. They said, "Do you know who's sitting over there, Pastor?" I'm like, "I have no idea." And because I don't really listen to that much secular music, I listen to a lot of Christian music, but it's like, I don't know who she is. They're like, "She's the daughter of..." And then they name the name, and I'm like, "Okay, what does that mean?" I still didn't know. You know. And then I meet the person, and they were broken. They walked into this church broken, weeping. And they encountered the presence of God. Before the sermon ever, before the music ever started, they came in when people were just coming and finding their seat, just broken, looking for a place. Looking for a place. I've heard some of you testify that there was one person who came in and they said, "We started singing a song, and it was talking about worshiping God, and it was, 'I found a place. I found my place where I belong.'" And as soon as they heard that, they said, this is where I belong. I belong at this church." And God spoke to them. She's right here.
She's waving
at me, right? And these are the kind of things that I want to get you ready this year. But if we don't do this, this is the hard work. This is the hard work. Awake up, redeem the time. Don't just waste time. Who needs to know this awesome message that we have? I'm not talking about Pastor Doug and Westchester Family Church. I'm talking about the believer, what the Bible says. I'm talking about what the Bible gives life. It's not a condemning book if you read it with the eyes of love. It is not a book that's going to bind you up. It's a book that will set you free. I believe that God is calling us to wake up, to redeem the time, to understand what the will of the Lord is, and to be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. You say, "Pastor Doug, I've never been filled with the Spirit." You can be filled with the Spirit. It's pretty easy. Be filled. Ask God to fill you with His Holy Spirit, and you will be filled right where you are. I tell this story. You know, I got filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues in a teenage Bible study, not in a church service, just with some friends and an FBI agent laying hands on me. Yeah, it was not a big show. My sister, who was actually wrestling intellectually with the whole idea, is tongues for today or isn't? Do we believe in speaking tongues or do we not? It seems weird, but I don't know. And so my sister was wrestling with it, and I'll never forget, I got filled with the Holy Spirit. Her boyfriend at the time was Ed Elliott, who is now one of our missionaries that we support. And he sees me. Now, this is what I'm talking about. Be not drunk with wine, but instead be filled with the Holy Spirit. He sees me the day after, and we were always talking about the things of God. We were talking, he had become a brand new Christian. He was hungry for the things of God. He looked at me, and this is what Ed said to me. He looked at me, he pointed his finger at me, and he said, "You got it!" And I go, "What do you mean? What's wrong? What do you mean?" And he goes, "No, you got it. I can look at your eyes. There is something different about you. You got filled with the Holy Ghost, didn't you?" And I said, "Yeah." And he goes, "I missed it. I should have gone to the meeting last night." And I said, "No, you can." And he goes, and I was still young in the things of God. I didn't know. And I mean, knowing now what I know, I would have said, "Let me pray for you right now." But I didn't know that then. Okay? I didn't know that then. And so what I said to him, I said, "Well, if you go to this Bible study, this guy named Ken and this FBI agent guy, they'll lay hands on you and you'll get the Holy Ghost." That's what I told him. And he goes, oh, yeah, I know Ken. I'm going to call Ken. He wouldn't even wait till the next week. Ed made an appointment, and Ken laid hands on him, and he got filled with the Holy Spirit. And that changed his life and destiny forever, even to the point that he's won over 1 million people to Jesus in Africa. I want to tell you, being filled with the Holy Spirit will empower you to do what God tells you to do. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't be drunk with wine that just kind of anesthetizes you for the moment, but be filled. And that Bible verse says to be continually filled. It means it's an ongoing process to be continually filled. So believer, if you were filled with the Holy Spirit 20 years ago and you haven't really done anything with it, be refilled. Be refilled. And the way you do that is you just ask him, say, God, I just need another touch. I need to be filled again with your Holy Spirit, with power to do what you've called me to do. Because I'm telling you something, if we want to truly be, verse 1, imitators of God, we've got to have the power to do it. If we really want to awake to the light of Christ that's in us, if we want to really redeem the time because the days are evil, if we want to do those things, then I want to challenge you, Christian, be filled. Be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen? Praise God. I've challenged you to break out of the monotony. Do not be the groundhog Christian. Say, I don't want to be a groundhog Christian. No. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. Let's stand our feet right now and let's believe God together. If you're at home, my sister, I'm going to finish that story real quick. My sister, she ended up getting filled with the Holy Spirit at home by herself. And this is the way she did it. She just said, God, by herself. Nobody around her. Nobody shouting in tongues in her ear. You got to speak in nothing. Just her in her bedroom. Got down on her knees and she said, I want to be filled. And she began to speak with other tongues by herself at home. Because she searched the scriptures and she said, I want this. All through the book of Acts, we see they were filled with the Holy Spirit. It took them from out of the upper room, huddling in fear, and drove them to the streets, and gave them a boldness, gave them the power to be the church. It is an experience for every believer. And I want to give you that opportunity to respond, to be full of the Holy Spirit. If you've been filled before, get refilled right where you are right now. If you've never been filled and you want to be filled, I'm not going to call you up or anything. I believe God's going to fill you right where you are, right where you are. So let's do this, church. Let's just lift our hands in this place. Let's thank God that the Holy Spirit is here. And He desires to fill each and every one of you with His presence. Arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. That means just like in the book of Acts, a strong, mighty wind blows. If you're at home and you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost right where you are, maybe it's been some time since you've really sensed His presence. He's here. Right now, right now, right now. And so, Father, I pray for this congregation. I pray for those that are asking you. Lord, I don't know who they are. I don't know who needs to be refilled right at this moment. I don't know who has never experienced that amazing power from on high that transforms and gives power to live and be imitators of God. Lord, I pray right now, those that are home, those that are here, God, that you would fill them with the Holy Spirit right now in the name of Jesus. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Bible tells us, stir up the gift of God that was on the inside. Those of you that are full of the Holy Ghost, I'm just going to tell you, you don't have to make a spectacle of yourself, but I want you just to pray in the Holy Spirit right now. That spiritual language. And just begin to pray. And watch what God does. He will refill you. He will reinvigorate with power from on high to do this work. To do this work that I talked about today. And that is to awake, to redeem, and to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Awake, redeem, be full of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, we magnify you. Lord, I pray you meet each one right now in the name of Jesus. Be full of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 If you're here today or you're watching and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, I was talking to believers this morning. But if you don't know Jesus, first step is you need to get born again. You need to ask Jesus into your heart. You need to believe in your heart that He's the Son of God, that He died for your sins, that Christ is raised from the dead. He's alive. Just receive His forgiveness right now. And it's real simple. Just like I told you, all you have to do is reach out and say, Father, fill me with the Holy Spirit. If you've never known Jesus, all you have to do is believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is your Lord. And the Bible says, Romans 10, 9 and 10, you shall be saved. Amen. Amen. Praise God. If you were filled with the Holy Spirit today, either at home or right here in person, I want to be able to give you some material that will help you in your walk with God and in this experience of being full of the Holy Spirit. It's not an odd thing. If we look through church history, it's an awesome thing. And it gives you power to live. Amen. Praise God. Let's sing something. And then we're going to have our sending out verse right now. And there'll be those of us, I'll be around. You can ask questions. I'll pray for anybody who would like me to pray for you.